Our scripture reading this morning comes from two places. The first place will be from Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. And the second place from Hebrews chapter 11. Judges chapter 4. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. After Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried out to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam of Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you do not go with me, I won't go." "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you, but because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zananim near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. All the troops of Sisera fell by the sword, and not a man was left. Sisera, however, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there were friendly relations between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the clan of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in, don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she put a covering over him. "I'm thirsty," he said, "please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone here, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite king, until they destroyed him. And then one verse from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Chapter 11 is the chapter in the halls of faith. And in verse 32, the author concludes his list. "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flurry of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from the books of Judges and Hebrews. On this Mother's Day morning, I've read to you a passage that is quite often misused in the church. So often in the debates concerning women in ecclesiastical church office, you will hear this passage used to biblically support the idea that women are allowed to be preachers, elders, and deacons in the church. You may hear someone say, "Look how God used Deborah. She was a prophetess. She was surrounded by a faithless man, Barak, and God used her to save Israel." Thus they conclude that as Deborah once led Israel, so should the women of our church day lead in the church. In the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, we do not ordain women preachers and elders and teachers. And the biblical basis that we use that comes from passages in the New Testament, in particular 2 Timothy chapter 3. Nevertheless, there are many women in the church, our church, who sometimes look at their husband's spiritual failures and they identify with this interpretation that was given concerning Deborah. "Well, my husband isn't doing the job. My husband's not being a spiritual leader. So I guess I need to do it." But is that really the interpretation of our passage this morning? Is that really the point that God wants us to understand on Mother's Day? Deborah did her job. She went beyond her job. And Barak failed. But when we look at the whole of Scripture, in particular the book of Judges as it compares to the book of Hebrews, we have to ask ourselves a question if that's the interpretation we're going to use. If Barak failed so much, why is his name listed in the halls of faith? Why do we find Barak's name and not Deborah? If Deborah is the one to be praised, why is her name not found there? If Barak failed so miserably, why is his name there? Barak's name is included on a list with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Noah, and Enoch, who walked with God and was no more. All the great men of faith of the Old Testament, and Barak's name is included on that list. So why then does God give us this passage? If it's not that Barak failed and Deborah did great things, what is the point? What does God want us to know? Well, if you look carefully at the structure of Judges 4, that will help you understand. In verses 1 through 4, or 1 through 3, we have introductory information. Israel has sinned against the Lord. The Lord sells them again into the hands of a Canaanite king. In verses 4 through 22, we read the story of the battle and what takes place. And in verses 23 and 24, we have a summary statement. The author concludes the story by summarizing the main point for us. And the main point of this story, verse 23, is that on that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before all the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite king, until they destroyed him. What's the point of the passage? The point of the passage is not that Deborah did great things and Barak failed. The point of the passage is that God delivered Israel. That God delivered Israel from their enemies. And the secondary point is, how did God bring that deliverance? And that's where we're going this morning. The point of the story is not that Barak didn't do his job and Deborah did. The point of the story is not to say from this that men are sometimes irresponsible and women need to save the day. The point of the story is that God delivers Israel. And as God delivers his people, he uses men and women in their specific roles to bring his deliverance. Let's look closer at our story this morning. In the first part of the story, again, we have introductory information. The Israelites have sinned again. In verse 2, the Lord sells them into the hands of the Canaanite king. The commander of his army is Sisera. And in verse 3, we read that Sisera had 900 iron chariots. The Israelites have none. Sisera has superior weapons. Sisera and the king, Jabin, king of the Canaanites, has superior weapons in which they use these weapons, these iron chariots, to oppress the Israelites for some 20 years. And it's true that Israel is not in a strong spiritual state. They have sinned, they have gone into idolatry, God has sold them into the hands of an enemy, and Deborah, the prophetess, is there. There's no male prophets in Israel, we find. Deborah serves as a prophetess. We read that she was judging Israel at the time. In verse 5, we're even told where it exactly takes place, by Ramah and Bethel. That's the place of the tabernacle of the Lord. So it's not that Deborah's in some far out place, away from the other people of Israel, away from the leading nation, the religious part of Israel. She's at the center of the religion of Israel, near the tabernacle where she's judging Israel at the time, as a prophetess. And she recognizes the spiritual state of the nation. She recognizes what's going on with the oppression. And God gives her a message. In verse 6, that message, we're told, is that the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, Barak, to go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor, and I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. Now, for anyone like Barak, who knows about these 900 iron chariots, this is not a very good plan. They're to go up the mountain, Mount Tabor, and stand on the edge. The king and his general will know that Israel is there with their 10,000 men. And they are to fight them in the Kishon River Valley. The Kishon River was a winding river. It had a wide floodplain. If there was ever a place in Israel that the advantage would be to the 900 iron chariots who could move about freely from place to place at great speed, it was in the Kishon River Valley. And God tells Barak, through Deborah, that that's where he's to go and have the battle. Not a place that Barak would choose as a general to fight this battle. And so Barak responds in verse 8, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you do not go with me, I won't go." "Very well," Deborah said. "I will go with you, but because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." Now there are many who read this passage, and they see in these verses weakness in Barak. Barak doesn't have faith, they will say. Barak is afraid. Barak is afraid, and he wants Deborah the woman to help him out because he doesn't have enough faith. Well, you can understand why Barak is afraid, can't you? God has given him a battle plan which is certain defeat in the valley of the Kishon River with the 900 iron chariots. But if Barak is so afraid, why do we find him in the halls of faith? This is not an example of how Barak fails and Deborah does great things. Barak recognizes something about the battle plan that he needs. And what he recognizes in what he needs is an expression of his faith. At the time in Israel, Deborah is the prophetess. Her camp, her court is held between Ramah and Bethel near the tabernacle of God. And as God has given her this message to give to Barak, Barak knows that if this battle is going to be won, there's only one way. And that's if God is with him. Who represents God in Israel at the time? We don't read of any male prophets. Deborah, the prophetess, is there. And she represents God. And when Barak responds to this battle plan that Deborah needs to go with him, his plan, his request, is that God will go with him. So Deborah goes with him in verse 9. And when she goes with him, it's Barak, verse 10, who summons Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men follow him, and Deborah also went with him. In verse 12, we read that they told when Sisera is falling for the plan. Sisera hears that Barak has gone to Mount Tabor. Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him. Then Deborah said to Barak, verse 14, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and his chariots and his army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. How did God deliver Israel? How did he bring about this victory? How did Barak know when to charge? Well, Deborah was with him. But something else happened. And we're told that in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 4, we read, "O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched out from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water." In verse 21 of chapter 5, "The river Kishon swept them away, the age-old river, the river Kishon, march on my soul, be strong." Sisera thought that he had him trapped. He sent all of his forces, his 900 chariots, all of his army, to take on the 10,000 men of Israel that were up on the edge of the mountain. And as he sent his army in and all his chariots with a charge, the rains came down, the soil which is clay in that valley caused the chariots to be stuck. Sisera abandons his chariots and fled on foot. The waters rose, the river waters rose, and they wiped out Sisera and his army. But we read in verse 16 that Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Haggaim, and all the troops of Sisera fell by the sword, and not a man was left. This is a victory for God. This is a victory of God's people against God's enemies. And it's a beautiful picture of how God gave the victory to two people, a man and a woman, serving God together. Chapter 5, you notice the heading in most Bibles reads, "The Song of Deborah." But if you look at the first verse, it tells you something else, doesn't it? This is the song of Deborah and Barak, who sang this victory song together. Do you see what a beautiful picture this is of the roles that God gives His people, man and woman, as they serve Him together? You look at the story and you see Deborah, and she's a woman of faith. But you don't see the picture of a woman who's taking over. You don't see this as a picture of a woman who's saying, well, the men aren't doing it in this country, so I've got to organize this. I've got to lead the army. I've got to give the orders because the men are failing. Instead, as a prophetess, God uses her and her godliness to inspire the man, Barak, to do his role. God speaks through Deborah. She relays the message to Barak. Barak recognizes what a godly woman that Deborah is, that she's a prophetess. He wants God represented through her with him. But it's Barak in verse 10 who summons the army. It's Barak who leads the advance in verse 15. It's Barak in verse 16 who pursues the chariots and the army. It's Barak who God uses in his role as male, as commander of the army, to bring about deliverance, as he was inspired by Deborah, as she faithfully carried out her role before God as prophetess, inspiring him to do what God had called him to do. The reason Barak's name is listed in the halls of faith is he recognized this. He recognized what kind of a person Deborah was. He recognized how she represented God. And as he recognized that, he didn't say, well, no, she's a woman. She shouldn't be doing that. Instead, by faith, he fulfilled his role, recognizing the important role that Deborah had played in the salvation of Israel. What a beautiful picture this is of male and female serving the Lord. And the story isn't over. For as Sisera runs, as he flees to the tent of Jael, we were told in verse 11 that this is that, to the tent of Jael, as he runs to Jael, we're told in verse 11 that she is from the descendants of Moses' brother-in-law, friendly to God's people. He thinks he's safe because Jael and his king are friends. But Jael goes to meet Sisera, and she has him lay down in her tent, thinking that he's being hidden. He asks for water. She gives him milk. The milk causes him to sleep, and she drives the tent peg, through his head. At the end of the Song of Deborah, it's not Deborah who's praised, but it's Jael in verse 24, Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, the most blessed of tent-dwelling women. He asked for water, she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk. Her hand reached for the tent plague, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera, she crushed his head, she shattered and pierced his temple. The story ends with a picture of another woman. This time, the seed of a woman who crushes the head of the enemy of God's people, the serpent. God would send another seed of the woman. That seed of the woman would bring about a much greater victory. This book of Judges tells us about a temporary victory, but the seed of the woman would bring about God's Son. And God's Son, Jesus Christ, would come into this world, and He would die on the cross. And He would pay for the sins of God's people. He would bring about victory for them over sin and death. And someday, He will completely crush the head of the serpent. In the meantime, we live our lives here today, serving the kingdom of God. God has blessed us with a church family. He's blessed us with families. And God uses men and women in His kingdom, in His church today, in their roles to serve Him. And as we look at other New Testament passages concerning the roles of men and women, we can learn a lot from this story. Because this story is a reminder to us how carefully men and women serving the kingdom of God, both important to Him in their roles, how they fulfill those roles. The picture of Deborah is not of a woman who takes over because her man isn't doing it. It's the picture of a godly woman who God uses to inspire the man to do his role and what God has given him to do. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, we read, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and the reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold and jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight. This is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful." The character we see in Deborah is of a godly and a faithful woman. And God uses her in her role to inspire Barak to do his role. And together, they bring about victory for the kingdom of God. Today, we celebrate Mother's Day, and it's a day to honor moms. The picture of Deborah is a picture that we can be thankful for the way that God uses moms in our lives, for their faithfulness to God, for their understanding that, hey, if dad isn't doing it, I still need to be faithful. For how God uses them to teach the children as part of serving in His kingdom. For how God uses them in their character, in their godliness, to bless their household. to bless the church. This morning we give thanks to God for the gift of mothers, for the precious role that they play, not only in the church, but in their homes. Not a role in which they take over, but a role in which they submit to God, they submit to Christ, they submit to those in authority over them, and God uses them to bring about victory and grace in His kingdom. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You today for the story of Deborah. We're thankful, Lord, how we can see the different roles being played in the story. We're thankful, too, that we can see an even greater victory in Jesus Christ. That, Lord, we live after His death and resurrection, and we can identify with serving You as we serve Him. And Lord, as we serve in this world, as we serve in the church, as we serve in our homes, we pray that You would use the women in their godliness to inspire the men at times when they are not so faithful. We pray that the men would serve faithfully in their roles, and they would be thankful for their wives and the godly character that You've given them. We pray, O God, that You be with the children as they recognize the roles that mom plays in their lives as she serves along with dad. And Lord, that You would help us to be thankful to You for giving them to us in our lives. We're thankful, O God, for our Savior. And we recognize the important roles that we play as we serve Him. Bless our church. Bless our families. Give us the victory that we can only have in Jesus Christ. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.